Hey Colby, well, as you know, we as a church and we as a world are in completely new territory. And it's difficult to know how long this need for isolation and distancing will go on. But this is our normal for now, and we are figuring out how to do church from a distance, which is a challenge because being together is basically 80% of church. So this has been an interesting challenge for our church and for many other churches. But here we are. And we are also in the Christian season of Lent. Maybe you forgot, but we are. And, you know, maybe it's simply an interesting coincidence that this pandemic that has led to so much shutdown and isolation has come during the season of Lent. Or maybe it's no accident at all that God has allowed this to happen during Lent. But Lent is a season when Christians make a focused effort to practice prolonged times of prayer and self-reflection and quiet and some form of fasting as a way to align themselves with Jesus. So I find it kind of interesting that these are the things that we have to do because of this pandemic. And yet this is something that Christians have done for a long time. Lent is a time when Christians have mirrored Jesus' self-denial and isolation in the wilderness and his own fasting as he subjected himself to 40 days in the desert. And I think one of the key practices to Lent is listening carefully. When Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted by the Satan, it was his careful listening to the scriptures and the voice of his Father that enabled him to overcome the temptations of the devil. And I think careful listening is a really important Lenten practice, but I think it's something that Jesus constantly invites us to as a key part of our spiritual formation. I think listening is something we constantly need. Now, I think we all know that listening carefully and listening closely can become challenging in moments of uncertainty and anxiety. This is probably the times when careful listening becomes the most challenging. So I want to invite us to look at a parable from Jesus that is challenging his audience and us as well to listen carefully, to pay attention even in a variety of circumstances. And I'm talking about the parable of the sower found in Mark chapter 4. So we're going to be in Mark 4 this morning. And what I want to do is offer a few thoughts about this parable to get you started. But rather than preaching a typical sermon, I want to leave you with some reflection questions for you to consider with those in your home or by yourself, whether you choose to do that as you walk through the guided liturgy or whether you choose to do that later in the week is up to you. But you will see some reflection questions at the bottom of the guided liturgy that I sent out. So we're going to be looking at a parable. And I just want to say for those who might not know, a parable is like an expanded analogy or a mini story or a short story. And Jesus used this as his most common way to teach about the kingdom of God, because parables were used to really awaken insight and to stimulate the mind, to stimulate thinking, but also to move people to action. And Jesus was a master storyteller. He used stories to grab attention, just like stories today still grab attention. And Jesus used them as a way to get God's people to stop, to reconsider their ways, and also change their behavior. The parables are told with the intention that we are meant to act. We are meant to do something in response. And Jesus wants to awaken us to what God is doing in our world. So the parable we're going to look at today is in Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. And I want to invite you to pause this recording and have somebody in your group read Mark chapter 4, verses 1 to 20. So go ahead and hit pause on this recording. Okay, welcome back. So, on the surface, this story isn't that complicated. We've got a farmer planting some crops and he's tossing seeds on the ground. And as he's walking along his land where he wants to plant and toss, where he wants to plant crops, he is tossing these seeds. And Jesus says, the seed land on various types of ground. Some don't make it to soil at all. It lands on a hard path. Others land on rocky soil, and other seeds land on shallow soil. And finally, some seed lands in healthy soil. And Jesus goes on to say the results of these various types of soil. And when Jesus gives the interpretation in verses 14 to 20, it's clear that this is a picture for how different people respond to his message. Each soil represents different kinds of people and how they respond to Jesus' message. This parable is both a story that is simply pointing to reality, that Jesus knew when he preached about the kingdom of God, different people were going to respond in different ways. And this parable simply points out that reality, and this is true today. But also, this parable is challenging anyone who hears it to ask themselves which of the soils they are most like and why. This is a challenging parable that's asking those who hear, which of the soils are you most like and why? And I think this is a parable all about listening and hearing. The words listen or hear come up at least 8 times in verses 1 to 20. And one of its major questions, I think, is, are you listening? Are you listening? And so if Jesus is saying something really crucial, are we listening to what he is saying? And so a few thoughts to leave you with is, when I read this parable, I'm thinking, what is Jesus after in this parable and in this challenge for us to listen? What is he after? And here's what I think he's after. I think Jesus is after disciples who are shaping their lives, meaning shaping your priorities, shaping your beliefs, shaping your actions. Jesus is after disciples who are shaping their lives around his kingdom, around the kingdom of God. Jesus is after people who hear the message, hear his teaching, and respond with a way of life that bears fruit. Now, of course, that's going to look different for each person, depending on how you're gifted, what kind of fruit you bear will look different. And yet, at the very least, bearing fruit means a lifestyle that begins with obedience to God, to following God. Jesus, I think, is being clear here that obeying him, following him, hearing his message carefully, means that we don't just listen casually or give Jesus temporary attention. Rather, his message, his kingdom, is all-encompassing, and it's not going to share our hearts with a pursuit of wealth or a pursuit of pleasure or even mundane cares about life. I think this parable is warning us that Jesus wants our lives reoriented, reshaped around his kingdom. And he's warning us that we need to hear his message and learn how to produce fruit. And I want to ask one more question. How do we listen well? If Jesus is teaching this and the main point is listen carefully, or the question is, are you listening? Then how do we listen well? Well, as I've been reflecting on this parable quite a bit, I've sort of come to see the different soils as representing different environments we can find ourselves in. I think each soil could be like a different environment you find yourself in. And when I think about the first soil, the person hearing the word and immediately being the truth of that word being picked away by Satan, I think about somebody who's very alone and who doesn't have other people around them to help them understand God's word, to understand about the kingdom, to understand Jesus' teachings. And I would say that's a dangerous zone to be in. That's a dangerous environment to be in. If you're trying to walk with Jesus, by yourself, you're in real danger. We need the body. We need each other. And even in this time of isolation due to this pandemic, we need some sort of connection in our walk with Jesus. You can't walk alone. I can't walk alone. The second soil is somebody who is troubled, who's going through a difficult time, being in an environment of being troubled. And that person needs support, needs encouragement. It might be a season of deep discouragement, maybe even hopelessness of losing faith. And that person really needs encouragement. And so I see that second soil as really an environment where people need to be cared for. And if you feel like you're in that environment, I just hope you will reach out. Or if you know somebody who you see discouragement in them, you see hopelessness in them, I hope that you will reach out. The third soil I think of as an environment of being preoccupied or inattentive. And I would say if you're preoccupied with other things, you really haven't grasped the message of Jesus. It might be time to rethink what you think about Jesus, because not only is he the least boring person in the world, he's not going to settle for our preoccupation. And he wants us to know how to align ourselves with him and how to put desire for other things and the cares of the world and the lure of wealth, how to put those things in their proper place as we reorient ourselves around him. And then the last soil, of course, is the fruitful person. And that is definitely something to celebrate. Fruit bearing is something to be happy about. And you might be in a season or an environment where you are seeing some good fruit from your walk with Christ, whether that's understanding new things in fresh ways, or feeling like you're grasping what it means to follow Jesus, or whether you're seeing other people trust in Jesus because of conversations you've had. That is really exciting. And let me just say that fruit bearing takes time and it takes patience. I didn't know this until I was studying, but there's, as we go through these four soils, there is an increasing amount of time that passes with each soil. And so soil one, you know, the seed is snatched up instantly. Soil two, this little root shoots up really, or sorry, not this little root, but this little plant shoots up super quick. It's like a few days have passed and something has shot up really quick. Soil three, the plant has had a bit more time to grow. So a bit more time has passed, and yet then the thorns around it start to choke it out. And then soil four, we get this picture of this crop. And obviously crop takes weeks or months to grow. And so my point is that fruit bearing takes time. It's not instantaneous. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes patience. And there might be incredible fruit being born in your life even now. And yet it might still be under the surface. You might not be able to see it yet, even though it's growing and it's still under the surface or really small. And so be patient with fruit bearing. It's not something that happens overnight. I think we all know that. And so let me close with, you know, how do we listen well? I've kind of said we're in these different environments. And when we find ourselves in these different environments, it's a time to stop. It's a time to slow down. It's a time for reflection, to ask ourselves, you know, do I have faith? Am I trusting that Jesus' kingdom is still growing? Am I trusting Jesus? And there is grace again and again when we realize that we've become preoccupied, or when we realize that we've become too alone in our walk with Christ, or when we realize that the troubles we're going through have sort of taken center stage in our hearts and minds. There's always grace to repent, to turn back to Christ, to ask for help from Christ, and certainly to ask for help from other Christians. So those are some thoughts to get you started. And I've got some reflection questions, as I said, on your guided liturgy. I hope you'll take some time to look at those. I've been reading this parable a lot the last few weeks, and every time something new jumps out at me. So maybe this week, as you're forced into more downtime, this is a great parable to revisit again and again this week. I hope this was encouraging to you, and I will be seeing you/talking to you at some point in the future. Take care.